This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty.
Creation.
Entrepreneurship.
The next idea.
We have to make room for this ability to learn to be creative.
What drives innovation? What's the internal fire that lights us up and gets those creative juices flowing? Our latest contributor to The Next Idea thinks the answer could lie in improv games like Yes And, or perhaps in juggling. Dr. David Fessel is a professor of radiology at the University of Michigan. Welcome. Good to have you with us, Doctor.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Well, The Next Idea is a series all about innovation, and that's a word that to me brings to mind technology and STEM and hard work and probably not so much improv comedy and juggling. What's the scientific connection between these brain functions?
Yes, there's so many cool things going on now with technology being merged with creativity to show us really what's going on inside the brain when people are creative. We've been able to put rappers and poets and jazz improvisers into the MR scanner, the magnetic resonance scanner, and see what's actually going on in their brain while they're being creative. And it's giving us insights that we've never been able to show or learn from before.
What do you see when they're in there? What's happening?
It's so exciting. People who are trained in these arts don't have different brains than the rest of us. They just use them in slightly different ways. They're able to dial down those filters that filter out the thoughts and that say, oh, don't say that, don't even think that. They're able to dial down those filters and dial up the creativity filters a little bit more. That's really the big difference that we're seeing so far. So it's not a different brain. It's just them using it with practice and with experience a little bit differently.
So firing up creativity means dropping and dialing down the self-consciousness,
yes.
the overly self-awareness,
inhibition. Yeah, those kind of things. Yes, exactly.
Well, as I read in your essay for The Next Idea, you were the guy that colored inside the lines and you checked all the boxes, and we know how grueling a medical education is. How'd you change and why?
A lot of years of school, a lot of labs, a lot of libraries, a lot of late night studying, checking off those boxes, jumping through those hoops. And then I realized one day that in my work and teaching at the University of Michigan, I'm in front of an audience, and I was really nervous. I was really anxious. And a friend of mine had done some improv comedy classes. He said, why don't you give it a try? I thought, okay, I'll just do a summer class, see what it's like. I did one class, and I was hooked. I kept going for 2 years straight, Second City, Detroit, before it closed. And it was transformative for me.
Why?
I realized I could have fun in front of an audience. I didn't have to be self-conscious, that I could relax. I could focus on the people there and what I had to give rather than worrying about me or how I might screw up or what mistake I might make. That doesn't really matter. What matters is what we're there to give.
And then how did that affect your work, your lecturing, and the work you're doing?
So much more comfortable in front of an audience, knowing I could have fun with them in a meeting at work. And because of the improv, these ideas get loosened up. The filters get dialed down a little bit differently. And I think of something and I make a comment, people crack up. Where did that come from? It's the improv in relationships. I really think it helped me open and helped me meet and marry a really wonderful woman.
Well, one of the things you talked about in your Next Idea essay was that idea of word games to spark creativity. And one example is something called One Word Story. And I decided, all right, we're going to play it. But in order for us to really get a sense of it, we're bringing in Kate and Carl, our production interns. So we're all going to try to do this together. So you get to lead the class.
Yes, this will be fun. So we're going to create a story, one word at a time. A story that's never, ever been told before. So let's jump right into it.
Awesome.
Once.
There.
Was.
A.
Little.
Boy.
Who.
Loved.
Climbing.
Rocks.
In.
The.
Park.
Where.
He.
Went.
Every.
Day.
To.
Go.
As.
A.
Pirate.
Because.
He.
Loved.
Ships.
And.
Panning.
Hooks.
In.
I lost the word. See, I'm becoming to a word. Did you say panning?
Panning, yes.
Panning. Hooks.
In.
In the.
Sea.
Where.
He.
Fell.
Once.
Into.
A shark? A.
That's okay. It happens. What's the one word?
Very.
Deep.
Dark.
Mysterious.
Scary.
Whole.
Where?
He.
Laughed.
Forever.
And.
He.
Never.
Ever.
Looked.
back.
Yes. There we go. All right. I like it. I like it. The fun thing about that story is you can't anticipate. You think it's going one way, and the person before you says something totally different. So on the fly, you have to be creative, and it forces you in a very fun, playful way to just pull out those creative things and get those creative juices flowing.
And I can imagine, as arts educators are hearing us talk, people all over the state listening going, yeah, see, it works. But arts education is one of the first things that usually gets cut in our schools because of budget troubles. So in your view, does that kind of creativity need to be in schools, or is this something that can be an individual journey like the one you took?
It can do it both ways. Both ways. It'd be great if it's in schools, and if it's not for whatever reason, do it with a neighborhood group. Do it with a club. If you're a mom, hey, have the neighborhood kids over and play this as you drink Kool-Aid outside on a warm summer day, or have popsicles. Or do it with your community group. Look up improv games online and have some fun.
Yeah, because there's another one called Yes And. How do you do that? Just to give people an idea of something to do when instead of just gossiping when they're all sitting around together.
Oh, yes. So you could do this as a play and acting out, and somebody starts with a scene and the next person just rolls with it. You know, you're my mom. Yes. Hey, mom, what are we having for dinner tonight? And you just go with it and let the scene roll and unfold and develop. It's sort of like the one-word story, only acting it out in a scene.
And you also offer in your essay for the next idea some other things. For example, if an improv class or you've learned to juggle, that's something else you talked about. If that's not an option for someone, what are some ways to kind of things to do every day that can get those juices going?
Yes. One simple thing that everyone can do that costs nothing is going for a simple walk. Two researchers at Stanford love to walk and talk and get ideas, talk about their research. And one day they said, hey, why don't we study if walking actually makes us more creative, as it seems to do? So they did. They did a really well-controlled study out of Stanford. A simple 8-minute walk increases your creativity. Walking inside is good, even on a treadmill. Walking outside is even better. So many creative people, from Beethoven to Steve Jobs to Charles Dickens, Virginia Woolf, love to walk and get ideas. They gave that as one of their secrets of their creativity, and now we know it's real.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be the power walk because I'm you know, get in shape it's
a simple stroll, gentle stroll. Yes, outside is a little bit more stimulation because of nature, because of the sun, the wind, the sounds, but inside works too. Get yourself moving, go for a walk, and your creative juices will flow.
And you mentioned meditation.
Meditation. There's so many health benefits of meditation. And certain types of meditation also have been shown to increase our creativity. Certain type called open monitoring meditation, where you just not are focusing on a mantra or a word or a sound. Those type of meditations are great. And if you do them, keep doing it, it's great. But a specific type where it's open monitoring is really, really helpful for creativity. There's an app called Headspace, and this is an example from that Headspace app. If your mind is the road and your thoughts are the cars, the open monitoring is watching the cars on the road, watching your thoughts come into your mind and float by like clouds in the sky, seeing what's going and watching them come, watching them go, just being an observer of your thoughts.
So you're not actively going, no, bad thought, go away.
No, not at all.
Everything's good. It's all good.
It's just a quiet acceptance and observation of what's going on in your own mind. And that has been shown to help those creative juices flow and help them percolate up to the surface.
And what do you think, Doctor, that all of this could mean in terms of moving Michigan forward, our economy, our government, our institutions, or our lives?
Yes, people are our strength. So if we can make our people, help them be more creative, have more creative tools in their tool belt, then our state and our economy and our lives will improve. I have no doubt about that.
Dr. David Fessel is a professor of radiology at the University of Michigan. You will find his essay on the Next Idea page at michiganradio.org. And as always, we welcome your comments there or on Michigan Radio's Facebook page or on Twitter at NextIdeaMI. Thank you so much for reminding us that it's a cool thing and a good thing to play.
Thank you so much. My pleasure.
Support for the Next Idea on Stateside comes from Michigan Economic Development Corporation, committed to marketing Michigan to drive job growth and investment in our communities. MichiganBusiness.org.